Good morning, moms. Welcome. How many moms do we have here today? Raise your hand. Wow, that is awesome. How many are here today who's ever had a mom? Raise your hand. Some of you. There's coffee out in the cafe at some point. You need to wake up and get that one. It's good to have you this morning as we've come to worship. I will follow you, Lord. Boy, what an opportunity for moms, because they have a tremendous challenge. The Bible says it's a tremendous blessing. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They bring us challenges as well. But you know what? Children also bring us humor, don't they? Especially when they're young. Let me share with you some of the quotes from the next generation when it comes to their Bible knowledge. Here's what some of them have had to say. One young lad says, "The Bible says the Lord thy God is one. But I think he must be a lot older than that." "After God made the world, he made Adam. He split the atom and then made Eve. A Christian can only have one wife, and that's called monotony." Monogamy, you know, another word for some of you, forget it. "One of the most important men in the Bible is Noah, but one of his sons was sort of a ham." Hey, are you dissing these kids? Wow. Noah's wife became famous too. Her name was Joan of... There you go. Another famous guy in the Bible is Moses, whose real name is Charlton Heston. My dad says nobody does Moses like Charlton Heston, not even Moses. The last one. "Jesus, of course, is the most important one in the New Testament. He was born in Bethlehem in a barn. I wish I had been born in a barn, because sometimes when I run out to play and I leave the door open, my mother yells at me, 'Hey, shut the door. You think you were born in a barn?' It would be so cool to turn around and say, 'As a matter of fact, I was.'" Well, children are a heritage from the Lord. It's a great opportunity to raise them, to train them, to influence them. You see the title of this morning's message, Influencing the Next Generation. We began last week a study through some Proverbs, a topical study. We learned last week that the book of Proverbs speaks on so many topics. And what is wisdom as we're learning from the scripture? We've learned that it's seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. We live in a peculiar day when it comes to influencing children. Listen to this quote. Someone once said, "Children no longer respect their elders. They terrorize their teachers. They fail to rise when older people enter a room, and their manners are becoming atrocious." That was quoted by Socrates. He lived a long time ago. So sometimes we go, wow, you know, our kids or the kids in this generation, they're the worst. Well, maybe kids, it's always been a challenge to influence and raise children. Here, a teacher, upon resigning her position and writing her letter, now this is in the United States on the West Coast in a much more contemporary date, she shared a number of things in her resignation letter. "The teachers are afraid of the principals. The principals are afraid of the school board. The school boards are afraid of the parents. The parents are afraid of the children. And the children aren't afraid of anybody." There are challenges, but you know what? There's also solutions. There's the world solution, the system around us. We've lived in those solutions for the last 40 years. And then God has a solution. God has a system. It's found in His Word, and in particular, in the book of Proverbs. God says, I have a system. I have some wisdom. Because here's what God says. I'm the creator of those children. In other words, I'm the manufacturer, if you will, and I know what makes them tick, and I know how to help them, and I know where the screwdriver maybe needs to make an adjustment. So God says, come to me. I will teach you, and I will show you. Notice the text in the back of your program. Notice in the book of Proverbs. Notice up on the wall. The wisest of women builds her house. I'm going to share with you three building blocks this morning. But folly with her own hands tears it down. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. You know, it's been a very long time since I've been able to preach and teach a message that I've had no personal experience with. Well, if I'm preaching a message to mothers today, I've had no personal experience with motherhood. But I had one, and I lived with one. It just amazed me how motherhood jumped into action just last night as our youngest daughter became ill, a unique illness, something going on, and it was 11:15 last night, and as she came into the room, began to talk with us about that, my attitude was, well, it's kind of late. If you survive through the night, we'll deal with it in the morning. Her precious mother had such a different response. So my daughter will come to me when she really wants to know the truth. If I'll never lie to her, I'll tell her the truth. When she wants comfort, she'll go to her mother. Well, her mother won't lie to her either. But motherhood, blessing, the challenges. Notice that verse again. The wisest of women builds her house. But folly with her own hands tears it down. We're going to look at that word folly in a second when it comes to children. Because every child is born with foolishness in their heart. And if it's not dealt with as a child, guess what they grow up to be? A fool. You know, there's other places, other people sitting down in other churches in the capital region and throughout the United States. I know there's none here, but there's fools sitting in churches today, right? We see adults who are still foolish. And maybe because when they were children, when they were younger, the building blocks that their parents used were not found in God's Word. That word folly literally means lacking sense. Lacking aim. They're not aiming at anything. They lack understanding. They're opposed to what is right, and they don't even know why. They've grabbed hold of something. They don't even know the reason why they're doing something, but they stick to it. They're going that way, and it limits or restrains the opportunity for growth or for maturity. That's folly. So God is saying, a wise woman builds her house, but a woman with foolishness by her own hands tears it down simply because she has no understanding. She's not aiming at something. And as a result of that, there's folly. Now, guys, as we look at these scriptures, there's most of them are a reference to a father, his name is Solomon, to his sons. So as we look at these, yes, mothers, it's Mother's Day, and we want to help moms in this wonderful task of influencing children. But it's not only moms. It's not only fathers. It's not only teachers. It's not only aunts and uncles and grandparents. But every single one of us has an opportunity to influence children. I just had to get a quick drink of water as I had something in my throat. And as I walked down that hallway, walked out that door just a moment ago, I saw these full classrooms and teachers in there. Some of them not even parents themselves, but influencing children. What a blessing to influence children. What are those building blocks that we all can embrace, that we all need to know? Last week we saw that wise building blocks is seeing things from God's perspective and responding to life from His power. Now today, as we look at these three building blocks, for some, it will be the very first time that you hear these. I'm so glad that you're here. We are a church where each week people are coming to a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and they're opening up this word, and they're soaking in, and they're eating this word, and they're being taught this word. For the first time, they're hearing God's wisdom. I'm glad that you're here. For others, this is a refresher. We may have heard it at one time, maybe even begun to apply it, but we got weary, distracted, and today's a refresher. So glad that you're here. And for others, it's an affirmation. They've taken these powerful principles from Proverbs, have chewed on them, lived them themselves, and practiced them for a good number of years, and by God's grace are reaping the fruit of what the Proverbs teach. Well, building block number one, shepherd your child's heart, not just their head, not just their mind. Shepherd your child's heart. Notice what the word says. Incline your ear. And this is a parent now saying it to a child. Bend your heart to learn. That's a sign of humility, a sign of bending down. Do you know Jesus? He bent down. He inclined. He came to earth. You know, when you and I are stuck in our muck and mire, I love Psalm 40. God inclined to us. He lifted us up. And I didn't say, go, get out of that hole. Get out of that mess. Look at what the mess you've made yourself get into. Get out. No. He, in a literal way, Jesus came down and says, I'll lift you out. You can't lift yourself out. Try as you might. I'm your rescuer. I'm your deliverer. I'm your savior. But for children, to help their heart be bent to learn. So incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. That the word heart means that innermost part of us, that moral compass, that will. It's the deepest of emotions, the core of character in a person, as opposed to what? Just the mind, just things that we might learn and memorize in our mind. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips. I learned this in a very practical way a number of years ago. Our church, we had a wonderful ministry called Awana, and the children were learning verses of Scripture every week. Many of them, and I would review with my daughter at that time. I forget even how old she was, maybe 7 or 8, and she was learning 4, 5, 6 verses. And I was just so proud and go, you go, girl, and you say them tonight when you have your class. And there was one time where we were memorizing some verses, and I just said to her, now, what does that mean to you? And she looked at me stunned, huh? And one particular verse was 1 John 1, and it talked about if we say we have not sinned, we lie and the truth is not in us, but if we confess our sins, He is righteous and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I said, so what does that mean? And she said, tell the truth. I went, okay, but it's so much more than that. What else does it mean? And she just began to think. She goes, I don't know. And I went, aha. So this precious girl was learning and memorizing words, verses from God's word, which is a good thing. But the understanding was not there. And God says to us, as parents, as influencers, He says, that's your role. We first need to understand ourselves, to take God's truth, chew it, live it, apply it. And then as we go along, we say to our children, let me give you understanding. Let me help you to apply what the word says. Not just memorize some things, but actually live it. For notice, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips. What the writer is saying there is, Jesus speaks of it, doesn't he, in the New Testament? He says, it's from the heart that the mouth speaks. You know, when pressure really happens, when life happens, what's really inside, what we really understand about life, whether or not we really have God's wisdom in us, see things and live from God's perspective, it's going to come out when we're squeezed. When the pressure comes, what's really in our heart, it's going to come out in our mouths. And here, the writer says, what's in your heart is going to come out. And so, if you're taking this truth and you're learning it and you're applying it to your life, then when life happens, guess what's going to come out? God's wisdom, God's perspective, the truth and the reality that God's right here with me. So that's a good thing. And so we need to remember to shepherd our children's hearts, not just teach them knowledge for their head and then for their mind. Notice that your trust may be in the Lord. Notice that. Your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even to you. Have I not written for you? Now, this is Solomon. 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you. So we as parents, we don't want our children parroting something they've heard at church or we've told them to memorize. God says, no, it's in their heart. These are their principles. These are their truths. So that when they open their mouths, they're saying, well, no, this is right. This is why I do this or why I don't do this. Oh, yes, I was trained and I was taught and I was influenced by somebody who was godly or maybe both parents or a grandparent or a teacher or a coach. But I live this way even when they're not here, even when they're not looking, because I trust in the Lord. So shepherding a child's heart, not just their head and their mind. Secondly, let's discipline children with the same motive and mode that God the Father does. I'm going to share with you from Hebrews chapter 12. You don't have it in your program. You're not going to see it up on the wall. But just find it in your Bible. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'll give you a second to turn there to Hebrews chapter 12. Discipline. Important word in the Scripture. God says, I'm the example of that. I'm the perfect example of how to discipline. Many of us sitting in this room, and boy, we've received the unhealthy aspect of discipline. God says, I discipline perfectly. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, and then jumping to verse 10 and 11. It's hard to discipline. It's inconvenient to discipline. It goes against the grain of some things naturally in us. Our society says, don't discipline. Teachers may say, don't discipline. But God's Word, and we're about to see just a few scriptures of many scriptures that talks about discipline. So remember what we're learning here? We're learning God's way, God's wisdom. And in Hebrews 12, notice this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You influence a child? Has God given you the blessing of a heritage of a child? God says, then part of your race is being a mother. Part of your race is being a father or a grandparent or a teacher. So that's part of the race that you're on. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus knew he had to go through that cross so that you and I could have God's help, God's power, God's forgiveness, because he paid our penalty so you and I would be able to embrace truth. And he received in and of himself the greatest chastisement and discipline, and that was death, separation from the Father, so you and I won't have to. So consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you not forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Now here, the writer of Hebrews quotes Proverbs 3. Verse 11 and 12, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So here's the Father now speaking and telling us, giving us insight to him. And he's saying you, and the majority of folks he's writing to are adults, though there's teens and there might be young children. And he's saying, get it, you're a child if you've come to Christ. And now the Father deals with you as the perfect Father, as a loving Father. And a part of that is discipline, is chastisement. Verse 10. And then the writer begins to talk about, well, we had earthly fathers. They weren't perfect, but we still yielded and deferred when they disciplined us. And sometimes they didn't do it right. But notice this. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So God's saying for every one of his children, he goes, you're in this journey. And as you walk with me, I'm going to bring discipline to your life. Stay with me. Trust me. Believe me, I'm loving you. That's what's compelling. Don't flee, don't run, don't whine, don't cry. And the end result is going to be fruit, peace, growth, maturity, looking like our Heavenly Father. Now let's look at some of the scriptures in the book of Proverbs. Notice there in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. A rod is a stick or a staff. It's an instrument used to strike that smarts or gets attention. What might it look like today? Well, I'm sure like me, you probably are carrying your rod or your staff, right? There you go. This is mine. Actually, it's not mine. This belongs to OAF, okay? Now, but I had one just like it. And yet we had a burning party, actually a melting party, because it's plastic, a number of years ago because we didn't need to use this anymore. Because during a specific season of influence in our children's life, this became the rod. This became the staff. And as we get into these scriptures, some things I need to share with you that you would think we would be able to get, but many people don't. Never use a rod, never use a spoon, never use anything to correct your child or discipline your child when you're angry. Ever. In your anger, do not sin. To correct your child and discipline your child, when you're angry, you're not honoring God. You're sinning against God. And you know what you're going to do to that child? Exasperate them. You are going to inside their heart, they're just going to well up with anger inside because you're bigger. And they have no control. And you're angry and they may have done something wrong, but they're even missing that message. And that's what the word reproof means. It means the opportunity to correct, the opportunity to lay straight. It's bringing forth what it was that was done wrong and explaining the heart of God behind it. Here's why this was wrong. Because property is important because people earn it, or people are important because God created them. And so that's where we're usually messing up, right? In relationships. And so the scripture says, the rod and the reproof give wisdom to a child. But the rod needs to be used with wisdom and never in anger and never as a form of punishment. How do you know you're using the rod in a form of punishment? When what goes through your mind and what comes out of your mouth, you did this to me. Didn't I say, whenever you hear I, something, you know, they disrupted something. Or you had a rule and all of a sudden you feel personally offended. Stop. Put on the brakes. You're not going into that room or into that place to correct them. You're going in to inflict punishment, and that's not biblical. That's not discipline. Correction. So you step back. You exhale. You take a time out, however long that needs to be. And then you go and you talk to the child. And at times, God is saying the rod will do some things. But notice the next part. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And we live in a generation where folks say, I'm never going to touch my child because I was touched and I was abused. I get that, and I'm sorry. There's folks in this room who've been hurt because parents have not corrected them, but punished them in an ungodly manner. And there's wounds and there's scars even today. But God says, come under me. Let me lead you. Follow my mode. Follow my example. I discipline you, don't I? If we're not disciplined, God says, then you're not my children. I discipline my children because you're not perfect. You need it. You need me to guide you. God says, I don't leave you alone. If I leave you alone, look what's going to happen in that room, in that place, with your sibling. Wherever, when you become king and queen in your own mind, you don't make right choices, child. And so God says, don't leave the child to himself, because eventually that child will bring shame to his mother. That word means a painful emotion caused by something humiliating or a shortcoming. And children can do that to a parent. But you know, also, it also means a self-consciousness of guilt for personal shortcomings that led someone to do something shameful. And so that's another unfortunate fruit from a parent who does not bring discipline correctly into their child's life. They themselves grasp it later on. I got to own this. I did not correct my child. I did not discipline my child according to the Lord's ways. And look what, and then there's a guilt feeling to that. There's a sense of shame to that. Oh yes, what the child does, it might have been embarrassing and humiliating to me, but still, I own some of that. Take that to the cross of Jesus. Take that to him. He'll remove that guilt and condemnation. That's what he died for. And he says, let's move forward. Let's move forward. You can still influence even though they're older. And we're always wanting to influence our children. We're always going to be wanting to care for our children. Just like I recently heard of a man who was telling me about his friend. He was concerned. He goes, he still cares about his kids, and his kids are older. He's wondering, you know, are they eating right? Are they going to sleep on time? How is their personal hygiene? Are they seeing the dentist? Are they exercising? And all of that would have been okay and normal, except his friend was 92 and his kids were 70. So, there you go. We'll always be parents, right? But notice the next verse. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Wow, there's something in our mind, or not knowing God, or even coming into that new journey with Christ. Well, I love my child, so I'm not going to strike them in any way. Notice the oxymoron. God's saying, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Actually, if you bring proper discipline to your children, it proves you love your child. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. That word diligent means you give it special attention. You give it care. You're steady and consistent, even though it brings you personal pain. There was never a time when we disciplined our girls that I was joyful. I was looking forward to it. It was hurtful. It was painstaking. But these verses, because I didn't have a clue about parenting until my wife got pregnant. And we said, okay, how do you do this, honey? She goes, I don't know. I was leaning on you to do it, honey. Okay, well, here's the pattern we had. They did some of it right. Some of it, not so right. So we began to study. We began to learn. We began to talk to others who were already ahead of us. We saw the fruit in their kids and say, how'd you do that? By God's grace is what they always said. We don't take any credit. But he has some principles. He has some clear teachings. And so as we delved in, and as we began to set up that model in our own home, boy, there's times when my wife would be weak and I'd be strong. I'd be weak and she'd be strong. We need to do it this way because God says it. Honey, do you know what's right? No. Do I know what's right? No. See, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. But God's ways are right. And so we'd walk through and for one daughter, boy, it was a longer period of time. And it seemed like twice a day she was meeting the rod. And I was like, how long, Lord? How long? Until the foolishness is gone. And all of a sudden, one day, it was gone. I mean, perfectly holy? No. But the bent of it, it was gone. And the other one had a different temperament. And so it didn't seem as much and as often and for so long. And you're going to experience that in your children. Some of you have. And yet we loved our children. How do you love them? I mean, I've tried to convince my mom, if you love me, you'll let me have ice cream for breakfast. She wasn't buying it. We looked at God's word. Well, why? Why do we discipline? Can I tell you what that word means? It means to correct. It means to restrain. It means to bring about change. It's something you do for your child. It's not something you do to your child. Any one of us knows that we need discipline in every area of life, in our jobs, in our spiritual walk with God, to keep in good physical shape. Discipline, discipline, discipline. Because the bent, the inclination is to go this way and just sit down and not do anything and not set the alarm clock and not get up and not do the laundry, not get ready. But God says, yeah, you need to be disciplined. The precious children need discipline. Why? Notice the next verse. Because folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Wow. Folly. Lacking sense. Lacking aim in life. Lacking understanding. Opposed to what is right. One who has no reason for what he does, but sets his mind on what he wants to do anyway. And what does this limit in that child's life? Maturity. So folly is bound up in the heart of a child. It's there. It's a knot. They can't explain it. They don't even know it. You ask them, why did you do that? I don't know. Guess what? They don't know. Well, you better give me an answer. They don't know. It's called foolishness. Have you ever done something And at the end, you saw the quantum. Why did I do that? I don't know. It was stupid. I know. I just can't explain it. You were foolish. And children, Bible says, folly is bound up in the heart. It's tied like a knot. But the rod of discipline drives it far from him. So do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. But I'll tell you what, sometimes the screams and the wails, they're trying to convince you, I'm dying, you're killing me. There's a certain part of the anatomy that God specially made that can receive a little smart, a little just flick to get attention. To leave a bruise, better not. Break a bone, better not. Yank an arm, better not. Slap in the face, better not. That's not what Scripture's talking about. That rod of getting attention. And then to let that foolishness come out. The best times of even in our family, in a crazy way, happened when the foolishness was unbound in our daughters. And you could just see it. Because it was gone like that. And they would cry and hug my neck after the discipline. And just cry, and it came out, and Daddy, I don't know why, and I'm sorry. That's okay, sweetie. You're forgiven. I'm glad you confessed. It's done with. Jesus paid for it. So I'm not going to bring it up again. And you're not going to do it again. Remember, how many times have I said, God, I'm sorry. Never going to do that again. And whoops. And how has he treated me? With mercy. With kindness. With grace. And with the rod. There was discipline. There's consequence. If our children don't learn there's consequence for dishonoring and disrespectful behavior when they're younger, we're going to influence a generation to think, there's no authority that I'm subject to. The authority in their life is their parents. First and foremost. And after that, there's other authority. Their teachers and others in their life. But they learn it at home. They learn it at home. And God says, it's bound up. The rod of discipline drives it far away. So do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike them with a rod, he will not die. Discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Wow. Delight to the heart. Rest. That's what a parent wants. God says, here's my wisdom. Here's how I say it will happen. Now, did you wake up this morning and say, boy, this is the step I need to take? Well, unless you're in these Proverbs, and unless you're living these things, no. Because there's a way that seems right to us, but it leads to death. But God's way says it leads to what? Delight and rest and peace. Coaches do the same thing, don't they? Coaches of those who are on a sports team or in the arts, they see the potential in a student, in an athlete. And so they keep talking with them about discipline. They discipline. They say, no, here's what you need to do and keep doing. And it's repetitive and repetitive and repetitive. Some parents are saying, well, I did that, John, once. And it didn't work. Hello? Repetition until God says, you see the fruit in that. And remember the mode. Never in anger. Never because you're feeling slighted. Never because your game has been interrupted. Or because the meal is burning. You see, a lot of times we just want to yell and you want to scream. That's not discipline. Raising the voice, that's not God's discipline. He doesn't do that and says, parents, don't do that. We do that because we're lazy. We'd rather scream down the hallway or scream in their face than do what God says. Under control, empowered by him. And then finally, all of us who influence children, mothers, fathers, show your child how to walk with God by your example. My son, give me your heart. Give me that innermost part of you, that moral compass, that deep well of your emotion and your character. More than just your mind, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. to say to a child, follow closely with the intent to learn and apply. Let me be the pattern. Press your life close to mine. As a parent, bring your child into your world. Talk with them about why you do what you do and how you make your choices. Explain to them the mind of God, the heart of these principles, not just preach the principles. But here's the reasons why. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. And then chapter 20, verse 11, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. The one who is honest before God and thus honest before others, trustworthy and faithful. The one who is void of manipulation, void of ill motive. That's a parent. That's a person of integrity, walking honestly. God says, that's righteous. And as you walk in that integrity before your kids, no hypocrisy. You know what that means? Is that when you do discipline in anger, I'm too guilty of that. I could ask my children today, how many times did your dad discipline you in anger? And they might come up with a number. It might not be accurate. They could say, well, at least 8 or 10 times. Okay. And how many times did your dad discipline you total? Well, maybe 12 times. Well, what is that? They remember the ones in anger, don't they? They don't remember the hundreds, possibly. But they remember the ones in anger. But you and I know it was the hundreds that unbound the foolishness. But they remember the anger ones. Just like you sitting in this room, remember the anger ones. Right? And so, the righteousness of integrity, when you blow it, and each time when I did discipline in anger, to go to them and say, I was totally wrong. I was not walking with the fruit of God's Spirit. I lost control, and I disciplined you in anger. I am sorry. Would you please forgive me? And then let that child think about it. Yes, Daddy, I forgive you. Thank you. Would you pray for me? Let that little child pray for you. That you would be accountable to God and you would walk in integrity and in the righteousness of Christ. And God says you should do that. Blessed will be your children. In the Hebrew, there's a lot of words for blessed. This one means one who walks straight. One who walks with confidence. And God says those children will walk with confidence. They'll walk straight because they're going to know the truth. And that truth will set them free because they'll know in the world around them, they're hearing all kinds of messages, seeing all kinds of things. But because their parent was one of who walked in righteous integrity, blessed that child will be. They will walk with cockiness, no, but with a quiet strength and confidence because they'll know God. Because they would have seen the pattern of God in your life. And you will have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ and the gospel. And in their own way, in their age of accountability, when they see their own sin and realize, I need God's mercy. I need God's forgiveness. I get what I'm doing now. It's wrong against God. Jesus, please forgive me. Become my Lord. Become my Savior. And that parent was a pattern to show them, to show your child how to walk with God by example is the greatest lesson. So we're here today. Some of you maybe have never taken that journey yourself to come to God and to receive His mercy, His grace, recognizing maybe bound up in your heart has been sin and foolishness. And right now there's a knot. And yet there's a pressing on you. There's a knocking on the door of your heart. And you know it. I have blown it. And right now I'm undone. I feel like God is telling me, here it is. Here's what you've done. And you're feeling like I'm worthless. Well, you know what? No, you're not. God loved you so much while you were still a sinner and living in your sin. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took on God's punishment and chastisement for your sin and for my sin. To prove He loved you and to set you free. from that guilt, from that condemnation, and from an eternity separate from Him. He wants to be your Heavenly Father. He created you, so you're His creation. He says, I want more than that. I want you to have a new birth. You receive physical birth, but I want you to have a second birth. I want you to be born again, this time spiritually. And it's not something that your church can do for you, or a parent can do for you, or your church can do for you. But it's something that my Son did for you. What ladder are you on trying to get to me? Look to the cross and just bow your heart and call out to Him for forgiveness. And look to me and say, God, I got it wrong. I agree. Thank you for the discipline. Thank you right now for that ball that's in my heart. Unfree it. Untie it. I trust you. I believe you. Forgive me, God. Jesus, save me. Enter into my life right now. Wash me. Cleanse me. Give me a new start right now. You know what the Word of God says? If that's sincere in your heart, God says, I know it. And you will not be put to shame. You call out to me at that moment. You become my child. I will seal you with my Spirit forever. You will be my child and we'll walk. So grab my hand and walk with me as Father. Not like the father you had on this earth, as good or as bad as he may have been. All the walk we're going to take is nothing like you've experienced. Because I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. And I was waiting for this day. And that's why you're here today. So you can begin a relationship with God the Father. Do so by faith alone. Not by human compelling, but by faith alone. Turn to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your example. I thank you, God, for how you've loved us. I thank you, God, how you discipline us for our good. Lord, I thank you that when the knots built up in my own heart today, even as your child, I know what it is. It's foolishness. It's sin. It's pride. It's ego. It's hard-heartedness. It's me wanting it my way. Wanting to do it my way. Wanting to see it good. And I can rationalize it and justify it and spiritualize it. God, it's just flat out wrong. Thank you for your Spirit that convicts us. And thank you that you're the perfect parent. And eventually, I reap the consequence of that. Sometimes it's just a total lack of peace. It's a total lack of joy. Sometimes it's even other things. And it's a blessing. I hurt somebody. God, I just pray your Spirit would sweep through this room. Lord, and every mother, every father, everybody who influences a child, God, they would just look at these building blocks. And there's three audiences in here. Well, no, there's four. There is one who are just getting started. God, I hear the voice of little ones. Oh, God, thank you that they're here. They can turn to you and trust you. And they can reach out to others who have gone ahead of them. They say, give me more. Tell me more about these truths and these principles. And Lord, there's some of us in this room. We sit here and we go, boy, I've blown it. That was so long ago and I missed the boat. But God, we looked at today. You have a special and unique message for that person today. How do you want them to stand in the gap? I know you want them to pray. For maybe now they're adult children who they see a whole lot of foolishness in. Lord, as they bend their heart to pray, but I know you'll give them wisdom when to speak, when to step in, maybe simply to go and to apologize. Instead of burying the shame, personal, that maybe they deal with, after they do business with you and go to that one and say, I missed the boat. Maybe part of the decisions and the things you do today, because I missed the boat at a certain time. Oh, you're still responsible for your actions. Before God, you're still responsible, but I led to part of that. My son, my daughter, please forgive me. Release me from this debt that I cannot repay. And let us seek God together for His wisdom, for His help, and His truth. And even if you won't do it, I'm going to be praying for you that God will have mercy and have grace on you. And one day you will turn to Him. And until you do, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to love you differently. I'm going to love you like my Heavenly Father loves me. Thank you for that message of hope and new help today. Thank you, Jesus, that you made it possible. In your name we pray. Amen.